Thank the Lord. Only through the name of Jesus, hallelujah, is there power, is there resurrecting power. Psalms chapter 63, verses 1 through 4. I want to read and talk about the life and times, if you will, of David, the character of David. One sermon or 10 sermons could not do justice to talk about this subject of praise. O God, he said, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Everyone say early. Not going to wait too late. I'm not going to wait for the doctor's report. I'm not going to wait till the marriage is gone. I'm not going to wait till my children are wayward. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You are the only thing that satisfies my needs. I see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. No matter where I'm at or where I look, I see the same power that was in your sanctuary I see outside the walls of that sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Wow, he found something in God that was better than life itself. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. My lips shall praise thee. Hallelujah. My lips, my mouth shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Why don't we do that? Hallelujah. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know his name this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your name has been exposed to mankind. And you, through Jesus, the mediator through to God and to man, the man, Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross and gave his life for me, has brought us that was far away from God nigh unto the throne. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life and shedding your blood for a sinner such as I. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk about this morning a lifestyle of praise. A lifestyle of praise. A lifestyle consists of your set of attitudes. How many of you got an attitude? We all got an attitude. You don't have an attitude, you ain't living. Everybody's got an attitude. Yeah. And your attitude is what your lifestyle consists of. Your attitude towards something. And, you know, sometimes you tell me, you got an attitude. You know, well, that's, you know, you do too. You know, and sometimes attitudes don't go together. And so go read the Beatitudes. That'll help you out, what Christ said. Lifestyle consists of a set of attitudes and values and how you express those attitudes and values about things. That's the way you live. It's your lifestyle. And I've discovered that whatever you pray to, your fate is always in the hands of the one you pray to. You can even read in the Bible, it said, I pray thee, O King. I pray thee, Father. I pray thee. Even Jesus said, I pray to the Father. His fate was in his hands. And you pray to the one whose fate, your fate, is in their hands. But I've also discovered that who you praise and worship is also the one you consider higher than you. You won't praise and worship things that are lower than you. You praise and worship. Now, you may encourage people that are lower, but you praise and worship things that are higher than you, right? Amen. And when you praise and worship those things that are higher than you, then it brings out more of the value of that person or God when you begin to praise them. Hallelujah. There's not a one of us in here that don't seek praise. Not a one of you. That's why some of you are wearing little things and you're, you know, you got certain colors that match and you wanting praise. Now, come on. You want just a little, you look nice. It don't take much for some people and other people, it takes a whole lot of praise. But everybody is seeking some praise. Woo. Hallelujah. And there are lifestyles. There are pessimistic lifestyles. And there are optimistic lifestyles. There's no pessimist in the Optimist Club. I found that out. They're pessimistic all the time. It's always, yeah, but. I understand, but. And then the same can be said when something is bad. You say, yeah, but. You see? And it's a lifestyle of being looking at the gloom and the doom, or it's a lifestyle of looking at the good of any. It's a lifestyle. And a lifestyle is always a choice. That's the difference. It's always a choice of how you live. Man. Introverts, extroverts, their lifestyles, they choose to be that way. And they may like it that way. That's fine. I'm not trying to change it. I'm just saying that's your lifestyle. And then some people have healthy lifestyles. They eat healthy. They walk and they exercise and all these kind of things. And other people, and I've been guilty, McDonald's, cheeseburgers, French fries, Fritos, trail mix. I love all of that. But it's an unhealthy, if you continue to do that, it promotes an unhealthy lifestyle. Many times we talk to people and say, well, that's not my style. In other words, I would never do that. Well, that's good, but that may be their style. You know, there's different styles of clothes here this morning. Everybody don't have to be your style. Hallelujah. But I will tell you, for things to be more compatible, the Bible lets us know, if you want true compatibility, it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know what the word agreed means? The A and greed means the absence of greed. That's what the word agreed means, the absence of greed. So how can two walk together if one's greedy? It's all you, and it's all you, and it's all you, it's all my time. It won't work. They've got to find the best combination of anything is when two people come together that have the same lifestyle. I like what Sister Rainier said. I'm not looking for somebody where our paths cross. I'm looking for someone where our paths merge. Because we're both going the same direction. We've got the same thoughts. We've got this attitude. And that is a combination for compatibility. And people even choose everything from mates to jobs to schools based upon lifestyles. And believe it or not, people choose churches. They choose churches based on, well, they don't let you do that over there, so I'm going to go over here. Well, they got a better choir over here, and I love music. And they'll choose a church based upon many times their lifestyle, what they enjoy. And so styles of music change, things come and go, and it's amazing. I don't even preach anything like my grandpa preached. I mean, you heard one of my grandpa's sermons, and I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm saying it's that different. Lord, my grandpa won way more people to Christ than I've ever won or dreamed I could ever win. But it was the early days, too. And that was the message for those days. But it's changed. The style has changed. If I preached like him, y'all probably wouldn't come back at all. Some of y'all keep coming back, so you must like my style. So I've learned that styles change. Music styles change. As I told you this morning, that song I sang was at the top of the charts in 1955. But it's the first time, first time you ever heard, I wouldn't take it to a little. See, first time. My. I'll sing it again next time you'll know it. But I look back. I like to go back to the Bible and look back at the first time, the Genesis of any situation. And when you look back at the Genesis of worship, okay, the first time the word worship was used. Now, the act was done with Abel. Abel was a worshiper. But the first time the word was used, worship, was when Abraham, the father of faith, he mixed his faith with his worship, and he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and return unto you. He had a plan of how he would worship. And when you look back at the word praise, because these are two of the most popular words, a lot of the songs written today are praise and worship. And when you look back at the word praise, I found that Leah was the first time. There's incidences where it was implied, but Leah was the first one, Jacob's first wife, to use this word praise. And the reason she used it is because she was trying to win her husband's love. Trying to win someone's love is the most difficult task you will ever undertake. There is nothing. I'd rather swim the Calcasieu River than try to win somebody's love upstream. Because to win someone's love is very difficult. And it is very hard to do. And so Leah wanted Jacob, but Jacob didn't really want her. And it's a two-way street. You know the story. He labored 7 years to get what he was deceived in. You know what goes around comes around. And what Jacob did to his old man came back to him. And so he worked 7 years to get who he thought was Leah. And the Bible says, I can't figure this out and I don't go too deep with it. But he did not know that it was Leah till the next morning. Woke up and said, Rachel? No, my name's Leah. Well, no, you're not the one that I worked 7 years for. He goes back to Laban and says, wait a minute, you tricked me, you trickster. Well, you see, life does that. He was being tricked just like he tricked his old man. And he said, I want Rachel. And he had to work another 7 years. And he said, it seemed but a few days. Why? He was in love. I'm telling you, time goes by when you love something. I mean, when you really love something, is it time already? But Lord, when you don't love something, oh, it's a drag. Lord, I wish he'd shut up. It seemed like 30 minutes. It's only been 5. And so we find that Leah is despised of Rachel, her sister. And when the Lord saw that she was hated of Rachel, he opened her womb. He saw her in her affliction, and she brings forth a son, and she called his name Reuben and said, for the Lord looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, surely my husband will love me. I have given him his firstborn son. He's going to love me now because Rachel can't have kids, but I can have kids. Oh, God has seen me in my affliction. And he said, Jacob, you mind keeping Reuben while Rachel and I go out this evening? Be sure you get him to bed in time. Rachel and I's fixing to go. So she said, well, maybe if I have another one. And so she has this other son, and she calls his name Simeon. Says, surely the Lord hath heard my cry, and now will my husband love me. I've got two sons. And the next day, and I'm just adding live, he says, if you don't mind, Rachel and I are going to take a little picnic. Could you get us a little something together? And so she has another son, and she calls this one Levi. She keeps thinking that I'm going to win his love. And so she has this other son named Levi, and Levi means to be joined with. She said, now, surely he'll be joined to me. I've got three boys, and you know what what Jacob said? If you don't mind, me and the boys are going fishing. And if you don't mind, fix us a little something. Rachel's going with us. He was leaving Leah out of everything but having kids. He was just using her. Anybody know what that's like? Just using her to get out of her what he wanted, which was the boys. Because Rachel's womb was shut up. And she got tired of trying to win his love. And then she had said, I'm going to have one more son. that she could not win Jacob's love. Now listen, she changed her lifestyle and began to praise God. Lord, I thank you for what you give me. I thank you for Reuben. I thank you for Simeon. I thank you for Levi. I thank you for Judah, Lord. I'm thankful for everything you've given me and everything you provided me. I'm thankful that you looked at my afflictions and you saw me in my mourning and you raised me up. She began to praise God, the one that loved her. And you and I need to develop a lifestyle of praising God. The key to a rewarding lifestyle is to praise the ones that already love you. Some of y'all, I know this is soaking in, you just can't say amen. Praise the ones that already love you. And when you praise the ones that love you, they do more for you. They receive that praise and they're proud to be called your father, your wife, your son, your daughter, whatever. They're proud to be the boss or whatever it is when you praise the ones that love you. Now, there is a key to the blessings and it is through praising. If we look at Isaiah, can I give you a little background here? Isaiah 22 and 20. And it came to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim and the son of Hilkiah. Now, Eliakim means the one whom God will raise up. And Hilkiah means the one that belongs to God. So what this verse is saying, God will raise up the ones that belong to him. God will raise up and restore the ones that belong to him. And this is a very prophetic verse about Christ and of David that has already lived. I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hands. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which means peace, and to the house of Judah, which means praise. And the key of the house of David. How many of you have a key to your house? Yeah, you got a key to your house. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. You need to understand this scripture. It is a key that governs what comes in and what goes out. It is the key that says you can come in. No, you can't come out. It's like looking through the peephole and says, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I don't want you. I don't like you. I'm not unlocking my door. You're not invited here. No, it is the key that allows access and entry into your heart. And that key that David used was what? Praise. The key of David that got him access to forgiveness, access to the mercies of God, was to praise the one that already loved him. Revelation 3 and 7 says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth and no man openeth. And it is reflected in the book of Isaiah that he also spoke of Christ. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government, the keys, shall be placed upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. David was an Old Testament man living a New Testament life. When you study the life of David and you look at the Mosaic law, you look at the law of Moses, and what you will find is if you sinned, you had to bring a sacrifice. Blood must be shed. And you would bring your sacrifice and you would go through this inner court, the outer court, the inner court, till you got to the holiest of holies. It was a ritualistic way of doing it. You did it the same way every time. And when David committed his great sin, he did none of those things. What he did, he said, deliver me from blood guilt, O God. Thou God art my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice of burnt offerings, else I would give it. If you wanted me to do it like Moses did it, I would do it. But that's not what you're after. I don't desire that. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. That's what God's looking for. David tapped in to a New Testament way of getting God's attention that in living in an Old Testament time. My. All others went through the outer court with blood, and they went to the inner court with the washing and the shewbread and all these things. So they got to the high priest, and the high priest would go behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God and the mercy seat was at, and the mercies of God was there and the forgiveness of God was there to roll it ahead another year. David didn't do that. He didn't do that. No. But David did this. He said, I will enter into his gates, hallelujah, with thanksgiving, and I will enter into his courts with, I'm going to enter into the courts with praise and with thanksgiving. I'm not going to wait till I say, okay, is the priest still alive? Are my sins forgiven? I'm going to enter into the court with praise and with thanksgiving. Did you come in here this morning with praise and thanksgiving in your heart? Did you come in here with a song in your heart? Did you come in here with thanksgiving in your heart? Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He entered the way he wanted to worship God. He entered that way. Whew, that says something right there. He entered that way. A lot of times we get up here and, oh, come on, y'all, let's praise him. Oh, come on, y'all, wake up. Come on. No, he entered that way. It was just a continuation of what he was already doing. He entered that way. Ooh, that is good. David had found the key to God's love and God's mercy, and that key would unlock the love and the mercy of Christ to forgive him of murder. How many of you know David was a murderer? He was a liar. He was a thief. But somehow he knew how to praise God. And God, oh, he's praising me again. And God was willingly desiring to forgive him. He wanted to forgive him because he wants to forgive anybody that will praise him. It's his good pleasure to forgive you if you'll just praise him. Hallelujah. I'm going to hasten. When we look at the life